right now. Today is the day that you choose to change the rest of your life. It is time to turn your setback into the greatest comeback story ever told. And nobody is more capable than you.
Yeah, Friday!
This is the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast, the future number one weight loss podcast in the world. I am your host, Donato Russo. I hope you enjoy the show today. If this is your first time here and you enjoy the show, please subscribe and spread the word of the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast wherever you are and to whomever will listen. If you'd like to connect on social media or wherever else, check out my Linktree page, linktree.com/TheRantingWeightWatcher. Let's connect today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 184 of the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast. If this is your first time here, I want to welcome you to the show. If you enjoy it, please consider subscribing. If the app that you're using to listen to the show allows you to rate the show or leave feedback about the show, please consider leaving a 4-star or 5-star rating. And if you can leave a review, please leave a review of the show. What happens when you do this is the algorithm updates, and anybody who is using the same app as you that is looking for a weight loss related podcast, the Ranting Weight Watcher just shows up just a little bit higher on that list so that they can find the show easier. One of the best things you can do to support this show is to literally tell anyone you know that you know is in the same position we are all in, trying to become healthy, trying to live a healthy lifestyle. If my message has touched your life in any way, and you know it will touch somebody else's that is struggling right now, tell them about the show. No one will come listening quicker than someone that you send to this show. I want to give a special thanks to the financial supporters of this podcast. Thank you so much for your contributions to this show. Thank you so much for even considering the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast a worthy investment of your money. If you are interested in becoming a financial supporter of this podcast, in the description below, in every single episode, there is a Linktree link. When you click on that link, it'll take you to a website where there is a bunch of options, and one of those buttons is to become a supporter, and you can click on that and make your choices from there however you'd like to contribute. Well, I got lots to talk about. Let's get into this! Journey updates. I am down over the past 2 weeks, 5.2 pounds. Total loss since January 2019 is 182.8 pounds. Pounds remaining to get to the 200-pound milestone, 17.2 pounds. In my little experiment I have going on, I had some interesting things happen over the past week. I have started to experience the first symptoms of a side effect from switching to carnivore. And that there could be multiple reasons for this, but the symptom is headaches. Every day since Sunday, I'm recording this on Wednesday, and every day since Sunday, I have had headaches on and off since Sunday morning. There are multiple reasons why this happens. And one of those reasons is detox symptoms, because dropping carbohydrate intake creates a detox environment. Not unlike when you try to give up coffee, the caffeine headaches that come along with that, it's almost the same thing. In my head, this is what I believe it to be. But the other thing it could be is dehydration. Now, that one seems totally ludicrous to me until I really started to understand what is going on, or what could be going on, I should say. So whenever I post, you know, whether it's a side-by-side picture or my scale result or whatever it is, I generally get an answer that says, can you tell us what you eat? Because when people see that you lost 182 pounds and maybe they're in the mentality that they struggle, they always ask, there's always somebody, one, two, three people maybe, they always ask, what do you eat every day? As if whatever I eat every day is going to create the same weight loss in you. But the simple answer to that question, what I eat every day, I'm basically at the point where if it came from an animal, like eggs, milk, cheese, came from an animal, if it is part of an animal, beef, lamb, chicken, fish, and if it came from the ground, that's what I'm eating right now. Single ingredient food items. It's a pretty simple life. None of these things have 40 and 50 ingredients that I'm eating right now. So this essentially could be creating the dehydration dynamic. Because something happens when you choose single ingredient foods like this and decide to live a life like this. You realize how much salt is in all of the processed food you used to eat because you can become salt deficient by making this move. And it seems so ludicrous because now it's like I have to be conscious to add salt to the food that I eat because I am not eating highly processed food anymore that contains enormous amounts of salt. So many things that you eat on a daily basis could be the simplest of things that you perceive to be healthy, could have your entire day's worth of sodium in it, just that one item. And I used to eat multiple items that were ultra processed foods. And now I eat none. Everything I eat is a single ingredient food. So what happens when you're salt deficient? When you are salt deficient, you literally have trouble absorbing the water you drink. So you could drink, like I do, a gallon or a little bit more per day, and then have trouble absorbing it. You just expel it all in the bathroom. It sounds crazy to say that. When I first heard this, never did I ever think that I would have to experience it. So there's a very real possibility that the symptoms I'm feeling of the headaches could either be detox from carbohydrates, because at this point I have started to cut down weekends. Weekdays are less than 50 grams of carbs per day. They are keto numbers. They are not yet carnivore numbers. My weekends used to be 600 grams per day, and now we are at 200 grams per day on the weekends. So these are drastic changes in my life. And the headaches could very well be I have dropped so drastically much in carbohydrate intake. Or it could be that I'm starting to experience what it's like to be salt deficient and I'm not actually absorbing all of the water that I drink. It's so crazy and so ludicrous to actually think that this is a possibility. When, especially when you're as regimented with drinking water as I am. It is completely ludicrous. Now, a lot of people would listen to me say, I eat single ingredient food items, and they say, well, I can't do that. I can't just let go of this food, and I didn't do that. But you asked the question, and I'm answering it. That doesn't mean tomorrow you should do what I'm doing. That would be the idiot way to do it. Because seeing where you're at and then starting a slow reduction is how I did it. I looked at what I was taking in. I made plans and goals on how to reduce carbohydrate intake and increase fat and protein. That was the real goal. And it got me to the point where I'm at now, where everything is a single ingredient food. People make moves that are drastic and they're not ready for them. And people hear me say that I'm doing that, and then they look at how much weight loss I have achieved, and then they put two and two together in their mind and decide this is the only way to lose that much weight. When this is only just the past few months I'm eating this way. They're not taking into account the past 5 years of work that it took to get me to this point. They are only looking at the current circumstance, looking at the result, and saying, man, if that's what I got to do to lose all this weight, I'm never going to succeed. I can't do what he's doing. I couldn't do what I was doing either until I went through the levels it took. You see, I noticed something since last week. It kind of hit me. See, like when I'm doing a podcast and I have a guest, rarely do I hear or absorb what's being said in the moment because I am watching so many things because I have so many concerns of audio levels and all kinds of other things that I want to make sure I make a good quality product. And I want to make sure that you guys enjoy what I create. So I'm watching audio levels dance on a little screen in front of me as people are talking. I'm trying to make sure that if I have to boost the audio a little bit, I can do that while they're talking and it would be easier to deal with on the back end than trying to boost it while I'm editing. So I rarely absorb what's actually being said. Even in the editing process, I'm so concentrated on what needs to be removed because of background noise and all things, because I'm all about high quality audio. I'm trying to make it so that you guys not only enjoy what's being said, but the quality that it's being said in. So I never absorb the message, especially when I have a guest. Now, last week I had the redemption, part one of the redemption group. And as they all gave their stories, I didn't notice it in the moment. I was watching too many things. I didn't notice it in the editing. I was taking care of too many things. But on the day of release, I listened and I noticed a trend. You see, as many of them that were there, there was a trend between all of them, all even though none of them really knew each other. And that trend was they were terrified to gain the weight they had lost back. And it made me think, it was kind of like when I lost the weight from the gastric bypass. I kind of went through the same fear. And looking back in retrospect now with hindsight, I can say this with complete honesty. Comparing that moment to this moment, I can say my confidence right now comes from the additional knowledge I have obtained in the process. Am I done learning? No way. But have I learned a lot more in the last 5 years about what it takes to nourish my body? It's so astronomically different. And the one thing I could, when I think about 2005 version of me who was terrified to gain the weight back, I come up with this scenario, with this analogy for you. For all of the parents out there who listen to me, picture for a second the moment that your child just learned how to ride a bike. You just removed the training wheels. The kid just start taking off on their own. and you're so happy and you're proud that they have gotten to this point, they achieved their goal, they're excited, and you want them to have a little bit of independence and freedom, but at the same time, you want them to be safe. So you encourage them that they're going to do great and you can go out there and you can pedal, but I want you to be careful. Do you see that tree over there? I want you to watch out. Don't hit that tree, okay? And your kid says, yeah, sure, I won't hit the tree. And so they take off and they're happy, they're smiling, they're laughing, and you have this joy in your heart because you're watching your child. But you notice something. You notice that the bike is kind of veering toward the tree. And you go, hey, remember what I told you about the tree? Just watch it. You're kind of going toward it. Just watch out. And they're like, okay, mommy. Okay, daddy. And they keep pedaling. And you see that they're not really changing direction here. It's like a beeline straight for the tree. And you go, wait, what are you doing? You're getting too close. Turn the wheel. You're going to get too close. What are you doing? Stop going toward the tree. Bam! They hit the tree. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that they hit the tree? Is it their fault for not listening to you? Or is it your fault for mentioning the tree at all? You see, by mentioning the tree, the child's focus is now the tree. Even though your words said, do not go toward the tree, their focus is on the tree. And as they get closer and closer, you're telling it and you're reinforcing the concentration. Don't go toward the tree. Stop going toward the tree. You're heading directly to it. Turn the wheel, get away from the tree. You're going to hurt yourself. You could have picked any other thing to focus on. But you pointed at the one thing you would be afraid that they hit. You could have said, do you see the corner, the stop sign at the corner? Ride to that stop sign and come back. They would have rode right past the tree. Because their focus would have been on the stop sign. We're going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. I now present to you the Ranting Weight Watcher Accountability Creed. If you choose this day to say this creed, you are accountable to me, the author. You are also accountable to all of those before you who have taken the creed. And all of those after you who will take the creed. But most of all, you are accountable to yourself. Now recite with me the Accountability Creed. Nothing can stand in my way because I choose to be unstoppable. My challenges crumble in my presence because I choose strength when I am weak. My insecurities have no power over my life because I choose confidence in the face of fear. I own every last one of my mistakes because I choose growth over mediocrity. The mirror and the scale are powerless because I move forward in spite of the result. Circumstances are not obstacles because I see solutions instead of problems. The demons of my past can no longer torment me because I choose to renew my mind daily. All things are possible as long as I believe, because if God is for me,
Who can be against me? This is the creed I declare each day. It is about what I do, not what I say. I will learn the work that needs to be done. I will never stop, even when I've won. I will work consistently, no matter the cost. I refuse to believe that all hope is lost. I will work when I want to. I will work when I don't. I will work when they are cheering. I will work when they won't. I will work when it's easy. I will work when it's hard. The atonements that I've made are made with no regard. I will work when it's cold. I will work when it's hot. Because choices have consequences, justified or not. When I think I know it all, I will start back at one. Because regardless of what I think, the work is never done. And from this moment forward, when times are tough, I choose to believe that I am enough. And we are back. Thanks for sticking with me. Why am I telling you this? I'm saying this because the fear that I'm terrified I'm going to gain it all back, that's the tree. And right now, everyone who mentioned how terrified they are to gain it all back, your focus is on what you are most afraid of. And if your focus is on what you are most afraid of, what do you think will most likely happen? What defeats this thinking? What will defeat the fear of gaining the weight back? Confidence in your work. If you don't have confidence in the work you're doing, you're going to have the fear of gaining it all back. And if that confidence is not there because you are not doing the work properly, then rather than focus on the scale going up, you should be focused on what you're not doing. Because in order for the scale to stop going up, you have to start doing whatever it is you are not doing in order to get it to stay and then start going back down again. The work doesn't do itself. How many times have I said that? Only you can do it. No one can do it for you. And so how do you make this switch? How do you make the switch from being afraid that you're going to gain it all back because you can't have confidence in the work? You got to get back to fundamentals. Tracking. Weighing and measuring activity. Perfection is never going to be required. Consistency is required. If you consistently track 97% of the food that goes in your mouth, the 3% won't matter. And if you consistently weigh and measure the same 97% of those foods, the other 3% will not matter. And when you add to that, you showing up for yourself when you say you will, whether it's in the gym, whether it's going for a walk, whatever activity, when you add that dynamic and you say, I'm going to do this 3 times a week and you show up 97% of the time, you add all three of those things together. You create success. And when you have that kind of confidence in that work you're doing, your body of work is so solid at 97%, there won't be any fear of gaining anything back. But you have to get there.
And if you don't, you're always going to have this fear. And so you defeat that fear with a choice. And that choice is to get back to basics. Do what you need to do. You make this choice every single day. You can choose to see yourself as a failure and wallow in self-pity and ruin yet another day of opportunities where you could have corrected the ship. Or you can choose to start doing the work. And no matter how many times you trip and fall on your face, you get back up and you keep going. And you keep doing the work in front of you. You can't make up for the work you've already done. You can only fix what you're going to do. So if you messed up and you're angry about it, if you don't like how you're behaving, if you're not proud of the choices you're making, if you're not doing the essential tasks, the fundamentals of everything that we do on a weekly basis, it's time to get back to basics. You know, I'm always talking about the levels. And I'm trying to tell you guys how when you get to the next level, the ways you used to do things no longer work. So you have to adapt. And it kind of just hit me that there's a much better way to give an analogy to make you guys understand that. Because I always get that question, like, what are the levels? How many are there? There's an even better way to describe this. You know, in the Olympics, the hurdling race, so you have a bunch of people on a track, and when the gun goes off, they all start running, and then they encounter hurdles that they have to be able to jump over in order to continue into the race. This is the perfect analogy for a weight loss journey. Because really the only difference in this race and your weight loss journey is that we're not all against each other. In your weight loss journey, you're against the hurdle. The problem is, a lot of you would love to skip the hurdles so you can get further down the race quicker. The thing is, until you defeat the one hurdle, you can't get to the next hurdle. So it doesn't matter how many times you try to skip it, the next hurdle doesn't show up until you defeat the previous one. And maybe just to make it a little more visible, each hurdle is a different height. You struggle with certain things more than you struggle with other things. And to make you see it a little bit better is, if hurdle number one trips you up every single time you get to it, it's going to continue tripping you up until you defeat that problem and you're able to clear it. Then you'll be heading toward hurdle number two. Now, here's something I just learned as well, kind of thinking about this. I'm not at the end of my goal here, but I am far enough into the race where I can see a good portion of the race in hindsight. And I'm always trying to point things out to you. Not unlike I said earlier, with the parent trying to point out the tree to their kid riding on the bike. I'm looking at the journey in a hindsight way, trying to make your journey a little bit easier by warning you about certain things. But you're not even ready for some of those things because there are hurdles in front of you. In order for you to even comprehend what I'm pointing out, you have to defeat the hurdle in front of you. It's kind of eye-opening to see it like this because it only puts truth to the idea that when I say I can't make you do it, that you have to do this on your own. I could point you in the direction, but I can't make you do it. But in reality, all I really can do is get in touch with the hurdle you're dealing with. And try to help you get over that one until you discover what the next one is. There's this guy, and I can't remember his name, but he said something that kind of stuck with me. He said that the overwhelming majority of the world lives their life deathly afraid to die. And in reality, they should be living their life deathly afraid that they will get to their deathbed and realize they never lived. You see, so many of the things we deal with, they're self-inflicted. And if there's one thing I can impart on you being this far into my journey, not only do we have to be accountable for our actions, you know, when we aren't proud of how we ate at a certain point, we're all real good at trying to be accountable for stuff like that. But there's a whole other dynamic that the overwhelming majority of the people that claim they are trying to live a healthy lifestyle completely ignores. And that's what accountability I'm talking about. The accountability to know what is in your food that you eat so often and to know what that food does to you. You know, there's a saying that I've come to hate at this point. And that's everything in moderation. That's how you should eat. There's one huge problem with that saying. Now, there's a bunch of you that are offended that I'm even bringing this up. But the truth is, the ingredients of the food we eat are designed by multi-billion-dollar companies who hire and spend millions of dollars on scientists who have one job. And that job is to create a food that would become pretty instantly addictive. All along that they are sitting there spending hours and hours and hours creating these food ingredients that would basically be odorless, tasteless ingredients that would trigger emotions or feelings in your body to make you want more. All along, they are spreading a message of moderation when food is being designed to be even more dangerous than drugs. And the problem is, people don't like comparing food. They don't even like calling an addiction in regards to food. They don't like that word. But it's real. Food addiction is real. And you can use whatever vocabulary you like emotional eating, all these things. Listen, what does a cigarette smoker do when he's stressed out? What does an alcoholic do when he's stressed out? What does a drug addict do when they are stressed out? They go to the thing that brings them comfort. That's the truth. So what does an emotional eater do when they are stressed out? Now, you could use whatever vocabulary you want, but all that's doing is it's hiding the truth from you. I can't make you see that for what it is. And that's a huge hurdle in many people's journey. To see and be accountable for the ingredients that they put in their own body. The ingredients that also cause the problems they think are wrong with them. The only thing wrong with most of them is that they are choosing foods that create the problem, rather than see the foods for what they are. Designed to create addiction. It's not going to be until you wake up and see the world for what it is that this will become a reality to you. I will just sound like the crazy guy who has the podcast until you realize that there's a reason you are not illegally allowed to own the ingredients in some of the foods you eat. And there's a reason why somehow, some way, somewhere, you are able to ingest them safely, even though you aren't able to own them safely. You have to realize what you're truly up against here. Nobody is your friend in this world. Nobody can save you except you. Open your eyes. Be accountable for what ingredients you are putting in your mouth and defeat the hurdle you're in once and for all. I love each and every one of you. God bless you all.